New York's Nash FM 94.7 cares about our community. We're talking about issues that matter to you and your family. This is Nash Matters with Tiffany Marie.
We're back with the president and CEO of the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids, Fred Munch. Now, Fred, can you just tell our listeners what is Medicine Safe?
Medicine Safe is a coalition of national and state and public and private partners led by CSIP, which is the Center for Safe Internet Pharmacies, and the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids. And we started the coalition because we thought that aligning public and private and state organizations that were committed to keeping people safe through education, resources, and tools would allow individuals to, with different skills, to bring their skill sets to the table to create a comprehensive guide for individuals. The Medicine Safe website is safemedsonline.org. So they can go to that website. And one is they can safely buy medications using the Verify Before You Buy screening tool. And that's very helpful because there's a lot of rogue pharmacies online. So it's making sure that people are guided to buy medications in a safe manner so they're not being victim to clickbait scams. Because a lot of these pharmacies, quote-unquote pharmacies, are just trying to steal your identity. So it's making sure it's keeping individuals looking for information or medicines online safe and that they're guided to the right resources. The other part about Medicine Safe is it making sure that people understand proper disposal. It's making sure that people understand that if they are prescribed medications, how to keep their children safe, how to keep themselves safe, recognizing signs of prescription and misuse and abuse, and then also navigating treatment resources for those around them, which includes understanding how the insurance system works and insurance companies cover substance use treatment. And then finally, accessing the partnership's resources, those resources that are available to individuals who have questions, everything from how do I prevent opioid use in my loved one when my mother is taking pain pills, to how do I find treatment for a loved one. So it's really meant to be a comprehensive resource for individuals using an interdisciplinary group of for-profit, nonprofit, and government organizations.
How are CSEP members participating, and what is CSEP?
So CSEP is the Center for Safe Internet Pharmacies, and it's a group of members that include Google, Bing, Facebook. And what they're doing is they're donating online ads in each state where we have a coalition of members like North Carolina or Connecticut. And what we're doing is they're raising awareness about prescription opioids, fentanyl, and other resources available on the website. So when people are searching information, they will go to the Medicine Safe website rather than being diverted to information that might not be credible. So it's a great partnership where we're using the power of their search tools and the power of their reach to guide people to safe information.
Mayor de Blasio and the First Lady announced a $22 million expansion of the city's plan to combat opioid epidemics. I know that they were trying to start a program where they can have a safe house, if you must say, for someone who might be using opioids or heroin. How do you feel about that?
I think looking into all alternatives and options that will help reduce the overdose rates in the city and around the country are useful discussions, and they're important to take a look at. What we focus on at the partnership and what we focus on is making sure the data is there, and is there data to support programs like safe injection sites, medication-assisted treatment, other non-typical programs that are gaining popularity. As we get more data, we'll understand whether these are effective in reducing overdose rates.
With that being said, is this the silver bullet to ending the opioid epidemic?
So I don't think there's any silver bullet to ending the opioid epidemic, and we have to look at it both from the prevention and intervention side. On the prevention side, We're doing a number of things to empower parents, to empower families. The federal government and the physicians groups are reducing the number of opioids prescribed. The federal government is focused on reducing the shipments of incoming opioids, including fentanyl. What we see is the silver bullet is a collaboration among individuals and groups where everybody has a role to play. And once we get together and start focusing on each other's strengths and focusing on ending the opioid epidemic, that's where we'll see the change.
Do you think that medical physicians are prescribing prescriptions? I don't want to say too freely, but prescribing them more than usual?
I think there's been great work done by the physicians groups to reduce prescribing. And in the past, the physicians groups would be the first to admit that there was probably more opioids being prescribed than were needed. But they've learned a lot. We've all learned a lot about opioid prescribing and when it is necessary and when other alternatives might be useful. And the physicians group are focusing on reducing the amount of opioids given to patients and only giving them when they're absolutely necessary. And they're very focused on what are alternatives to opioids to help manage chronic pain, but also understanding when opioids are needed. Overall, we're seeing a trend where there's a reduction in opioid prescriptions, and that's only good in combating this epidemic.
What other statistics do you have to share with our listeners?
So as we mentioned, there's 64,000 people a year, 174 people a day, and 115 of those are dying of opioid-related overdoses every single day. That's one person every 12 minutes. And when we look at that data, it's shocking because think about three planes crashing every day in terms of the number of opioids, three small planes. I mean, when we're looking at it, you could fill a baseball stadium with the number of people that are dying every year of overdose. That's shocking. And we have to take this very seriously, and we have to take action to change this. And we're hoping that people will reach out to friends and family members to take action. And when they see something happening in their community, that they will act immediately, that they'll go and they'll speak to a friend whose child may be struggling, who the friend might not know their child struggling. Go and talk to that friend. If they see someone that they know who might be falling down a dark path towards opioid addiction, intervene, say something at the moment. The more we say something, the more we're gonna have an opportunity to end this opioid crisis. And in terms of our own backyard in New York, what we're seeing, there was an increase of 29% from 2015 to 2016 in opioid deaths. And then from 2010 to 2016, we saw 121% increase. So right now we're seeing about 4,000 people dying a year statewide. That is unacceptable. And as New Yorkers, we need to take action. And we've been fortunate in terms of New York City Department of Health, their naloxone trainings and them pushing out naloxone guides and making sure that family members are empowered and individuals in the field are empowered to give naloxone to people. And as we see the increase in upstate and Long Island, which has significant increases, we know this is not just in New York City, but all around the state. So we're working with another number of organizations to make sure that groups are empowered all around the state to take action to end this epidemic.
What do you think it's going to take to end it?
I think it's the first and foremost is that people acknowledge it. We're not sweeping it under the rug. That people don't feel ashamed to ask for help. That the stigma around substance use starts to shift. It's been thought of as a criminal justice issue, and it's not. And we should think about it like any other disease. And so if a parent feels comfortable saying, my child has diabetes, my child has cancer, we want parents, caregivers, loved ones to say, my loved one is struggling with substance use and I need help. And we want that individual who's struggling to feel comfortable and confident that they can reach out for help without fear of being arrested, without fear of losing their job, without fear that society will judge them in a way that they're quote unquote a bad person. I can tell you from my own personal experience, I'm a recovering heroin addict. And as someone who hid and hid their addiction throughout the years, and then when I finally realized the joys of recovery, how hard it was to talk to other people about it because of the fear of judgment, even after I was in a clinical psychology PhD program, even after I had received a academic position at Columbia University Medical Center, even after I achieved a lot of my goals in life, the fear of exposing myself was there. And I hope that people can feel empowered to not only reach out for help, but embrace that addiction is not a moral issue. It's not a criminal justice issue. It's a disease. And as we treat it like that, what we'll be able to do is be empowered to recover. Until we stop stigmatizing it, we're not going to get anywhere. I think the media we consume impact us. And I think both from the perspective of seeing someone glorifying substance use, seeing that maybe a person is at a party or getting high or whatever it might be, glorifying that is not helping. At the same time, we can use social media to change the conversation. And groups like Google, Facebook, in particular, we're working with, who are helping change the conversation and making sure that people are seeing that there is hope. We're making sure that people are seeing advertisements that de-glorify substance use, and that if there is a concern or problem and someone's struggling, that there is help and they don't have to be ashamed to reach out.
Now, you openly stated that you had an addiction.
Yes.
When did you realize you had this addiction, and when did you seek help?
It's a great question. So 90% of people who have a substance use problem don't actually get the treatment they need. And it's a combination of a few things. One is that there's a lack of treatment options, but also when you're actively using, often you're not ready to seek help or you don't want to seek help. I knew early on that I was struggling. I knew that I was addicted. But cognitively, in my head, I thought there was always a workaround. I thought I could figure it out. I always had to, if I just do this or do this, I'll figure it out. No, I got this. This is just a phase. All of these, I wouldn't call them delusions, but all of these ideas I thought I could have to figure it out, because I wanted to believe I could figure it out. Everything I tried wasn't working. So over time, what I had to do was just say, okay, I need help. I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to figure this out. And it took years and years. It was not a straight path. And one of the things we realize is there's no one and done. There's no treatment and done. And this is why at the partnership, we focus on holding family members' hands, and why we're seeing more and more that peer recovery groups are there to support those individuals who are struggling over the course of time. So with what we're doing is one of the things I want to add about our resources is we support the supporters. And in my own struggle, I've noticed as my family changed, it helped me change. As they learned how to communicate with me and deal with me, that helped me change. And so those resources at the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids at www.drugfree.org are there to empower you to not only help prevent substance use with your loved ones, but also engage in the conversation and intervene when you know they have a problem. And they're also there to help young people and those struggling recover. And by empowering those around the people using, we know that we can change this epidemic.
I want to thank you so much, Fred, for just sharing your story, because that takes courage. And I want to thank you for that.
Everyone out there is courageous, and everyone out there is making an attempt to live a life that's meaningful and make an attempt to live a life that will contribute to society. But sometimes we get diverted. And there's no such thing as good boy, bad boy, but he's such a good boy. That has nothing to do with addiction. Addiction is beyond a moral label. It's beyond a criminal justice label. It's about learning how to live a meaningful life without substances. And once we can embrace meaning, love, family, connection, that's when I think we're going to really make a difference. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Fred. That was Fred Munch, the president and CEO of the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids. This has been Nash Matters with Tiffany Marie on Nash FM 94.7.
If you'd like your organization or charity featured on Nash Matters, contact us through our website at nashfm947.com. And thank you for listening to Nash Matters on New York's Nash FM 94.7.